He was known as the Papa of India, a lawyer who loved people, a person who wanted to conquer by peaceful means. Mahatma Gandhi, he said this, "I cannot ascribe exclusive divinity to Jesus. He is as divine as Krishna or Rama, Muhammad or Zoroaster. The soul of religion is one. I am a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Christian, and a Jew. Truth is not the exclusive property of one single group. There is no one way, no one path. Krishna, Rama, Zoroaster, Muhammad, and Jesus are all the same." Is that true? Is it true that Jesus, prominent in history, is not preeminent? Is it true that he's important in history, but not all important? Comparative in history to others, but not superlative. Sufficient for some, but not all sufficient. Is Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice right? Jesus Christ, superstar. Do you think you are who they say you are? Is Jesus merely a good man? Is he merely a moral teacher? Is he merely one of the many prophets who've come and established a religion with many followers? Not according to the book of Colossians. Intellectualism, ritualism, legalism, mysticism, asceticism, syncretism, we're all basically going one way, we're all going to make it there. What's more, this elite Gnosticism, this higher knowledge, was the issue which the Apostle Paul was dealing with when he came to the book of Colossians. Actually, this lady, whose name is Helen Lemel, was beautiful and intelligent and talented and visually impaired. She was a musician who, when she lost her sight, also lost her husband, who walked out on her. But though she lost her sight, she could see things clearer than most people. Having been challenged by a document called Focused, she was told, "Dare to have it out with God. Just who Jesus is. Turn your eyes upon him." This poet and wordsmith wrote a song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, we're going to call "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." His person, his power, his purpose. First of all, his person. Who is Jesus? Well, according to this passage, he's the image of the invisible God. He's the eternal Son of the Father. He's the fullness of God in bodily form. Listen, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And he is before all things. What's more, we are told, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Here we have it, who Jesus is. He's the image of the invisible God. Josiah Conder summed up theology precisely in poetry. Listen to this. True image of the infinite, whose essence is concealed. Brightness of uncreated light. The heart of God revealed. He is also the eternal Son of the Father, the firstborn of all creation. Actually, if you're a young person here, many years ago, some of the people with grayer hairs here were young people once. And we all used to stand and sing. But we didn't sing any old thing. We tried to sing theology in all its richness, in all its fullness, in all its depth. Christ is of eternal duration, without beginning or end. The eternal Son of the eternal God, uncreated, unsupported, ageless, timeless, deathless, in the sense of the essence of his person. Think about that. Even though Christ died upon the cross in his human body, he's still there, forsaken by his Father, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As God is forsaken of God, still in essence, he is the eternal Son of the Father. Not only so, we are told here, he is before all things, and in him all the fullness of God dwells bodily. When you look at Jesus, you are looking at God. All of his attributes, all of his essence, all of his person found in Christ. Friends, this is important. He was the condescension of divinity, the exaltation of humanity. Not humanized deity. Not deified humanity. But fully God and fully man in one person. His person. Number two, we are told of his power. Listen to what the Bible says. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Here's his power. He's the creator and the sustainer of the universe. I wanted to find a white screen with almost an invisible dot. I want you to look at your Bible and find a full stop. And let's put the full stop, a tiny weeny full stop, on the white screen. If this vast earth was the size of a full stop, If the earth was reduced to the size of a tiny, tiny dot, it would be 1/50th of an inch in diameter. The distance from that dot to the moon would be 5/8 of an inch. I like using the old. The distance to the sun would be 19.5 feet. The distance to the first star would be 1,500 miles. The distance to the Milky Way would be 23,380,000 miles. The distance to the Andromeda Galaxy would be 467,600,000 miles. And if you and I could trace Voyager as it's traveling at 100,000 miles an hour, we would find that there are 100 billion plus galaxies beyond that. And if we were to try to send a message traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, seven times round the Earth in 1 second, it would take 15 billion years to get there. This universe is vast. And we are smaller than a full stop. It makes you feel very unimportant and very insignificant if it were not for the Bible. Are we alone in the universe? Are we just a mass collection of atoms? Do we come from nothing? Is there nothing? Do we go to nothing? Are we on the treadmill to oblivion? According to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator and the sustainer of the universe. Listen to what John said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Listen to what the writer to the Hebrews says. In Hebrews chapter 1, if you're following in your Bible. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. That's what the New Testament says about the omnipotence, the creating and sustaining power of the eternal Son of God. Not only so, His power is seen in the fact that we are told here He is the head of the body, the church. When upon earth, He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I remind you, the church is not the building. It's not the stained glass or the steeples. It's not the pews or the pulpit. It's not the hymn books. It's not the pastors or the ministers or the priests or the bishops or the archbishops or the popes. I remind you that the church is the ecclesia, the body of Christ, the called out ones. I remind you that this body of Christ is not only local as we gather here. It is universal. It is not only the church in our time. It is the church of all time. Made up of men and women from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he spoke about the church in a visual way, talking about the different parts of the body all joined to the head. He is the head. He is the one who has the power and authority. He is the leader and he is the king of his church. Not only so, he is the risen and preeminent one, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, when death could not hold him. Whereby he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and the highest place that heaven affords is his by sovereign right. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he reigns in glory bright. His power. Perhaps you can understand that literary genius, C.S. Lewis, saying this. I am really trying to prevent anyone from saying a really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. They say, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher. But I don't accept his claim to be God. Now that is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil from hell itself. You must make a choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the eternal Son of the Father. He is the fullness of God in bodily form. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He is the head of the church. He is the risen, preeminent one. Thirdly, we're told of his purpose. It is to reconcile. It is to make peace. It is to transform. Here's what the Bible says. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. I mean, this is amazing. Reconciling heaven and earth. That is amazing. He's already told us that this man Jesus, says Paul, created things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones and dominions, rulers or authorities, all were created through him and for him. Friends, the Bible says if you and I could just for a millimeter of a second, remove the veil. We would see seraphim and cherubim, archangels, multitudes of angels, principalities and powers, dominions and authorities. And the spirits of just men made perfect. all acknowledging the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the hymn writer says, before him, devils fear and fly. No wonder James says, you believe in God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles. His purpose is to reconcile parties which are divided, bringing them together. His purpose is to make peace. He does so through the blood of his cross. All my iniquity on him was laid. He nailed it all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. Something cosmic happened at the cross. Something amazing, astounding. No wonder the lights were switched off, not just because the contorted face and body of our Lord Jesus Christ, bearing the sin of men and women, bearing the wrath of God, being the propitiation, the wrath bearer, being the atonement, the one who makes man and woman at one with God. But this bit is truly amazing. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you, me, holy, blameless, above reproach before him. You want to know what the wonder of God's purpose is in salvation? This vile, wretched, weak, vulnerable, inconsistent, unreliable, rebel of a sinner, he makes me holy. Because I am holy? No. I'm unholy. I'm unclean. I'm unfit. I'm undone. You may not be, liar. He makes me and you in him holy, pure, spotless. Hey, not just holy, blameless. Without blame, without accusation. If God be for us, who can be against us? God has done it all. Christ has paid it all. The blood covers it all. Righteousness clothes his people. We are so hidden behind the Christ, the devil can't find us. We know that in this earthly pilgrimage between earth and heaven, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. But listen, the debt is paid, the work is finished, the job is done. And more than that, above reproach before him. He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot look on sin. He charges angels with folly. The very heavens are unclean in his sight. Above reproach before him. Quite honestly, friend, I know it's stuffy in here, but why are you not saying hallelujah? perhaps you are in your heart, to reconcile, to make peace, to transform us into His image and likeness, so we're holy and blameless and above reproach, like Jesus, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, like Him. Oh, says Paul, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Providing you're the real thing, providing your faith is genuine, your confidence in Him is true, providing, of course, you're going on in your faith, you're not shifting from the hope of the gospel. Paul says, this gospel is being proclaimed, and I am privileged to be His minister. The minister of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Turn your eyes away from human speculation. Turn your eyes upon Him who is the fullness of God's revelation, His final revelation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Let the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Listen to this. Christ has in Himself all power to defend you, all wisdom to direct you, all mercy to pardon you, all grace to enrich you, all righteousness to clothe you, all goodness to supply you, all happiness to crown you, all intention to present you, holy, blameless, above reproach, safe, secure in heaven because of His supremacy and His all-sufficient grace. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing. now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If you know this, you can close your eyes and sing it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Thank you.